another app for inventory, one for CRM. Oh, don't forget accounting. Wait, which login was that?
Or you could use Odoo, one fully integrated system that does it all without the hassle. Ditch the app overload. Get everything your business needs on one platform. Try Odoo free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Welcome to the Dead Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless. Nobody's left out. These are the conversations we want our sons to access as they grow through life, so no topics are off limits. I'm one of your hosts, D. Johns.
I'm your other host, Jay Black.
And today, crowd favorite is back in the building. Mr. Tim Nicholas is in the building. What's good, my brother?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Everything is lovely, man.
Alive, and that's a blessing. So we're good.
We're going to toss it to you first. We normally do our 1-2 with what's going on, but what's going on?
Hey, everything is good, man. Life is good. You know, I was just telling James that, you know, I just moved into Mansfield about June. So it's been a couple of months we've been here just enjoying life. My wife's been out of town. So, hey, that's a good thing, too.
Right.
Y'all know how that goes. We get to chill out every now and again. I miss her, but, you know, trying to chill out a little bit.
Yeah. Take the trash out before she come back.
I think so.
That's all I said.
Yeah, man.
What's good with you, homie?
Man, same. We pushing, man. My wife got this humongous project going on at the house, and, you know, we adjusting as it happens, and that's about as much as I'm allowed to say about that. I probably said too much already.
Classified.
Hey, what about you? What you got going? What's life looking like right now?
Man, today, speaking of your wife came through in a major way.
Man.
Helped me out with a medical procedure that I've been chasing.
Yeah.
Got an MRI done, trying to figure out what's going on with my health. I spoke to you at the men's group.
Mm-hmm.
Praying on some things, believing God for some things. Some things are, you know, God is showing favor. So today was a good day on that front.
Yeah, man.
It's good stuff, man.
And concerning your home rehab, I'm trying to keep my wife out of your house. Out of the house. Yeah.
Takes a village, though.
Yeah. So for those that, you know, this is your first time, not the joke, but James and I are actual neighbors. And then I guess you're a neighbor, too.
I'm a neighbor now. Neighbor. I'm like 5 minutes away from y'all. So
neighbor for a reason. So all of us are brothers through acquaintance and through just connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get right into it, man. We've been doing a pretty good job of getting right into it.
I agree.
We have a topic that I think is near and dear to all of us. Today we're talking about black and blended.
Black and blended.
How we manage.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So to be clear, black. Well, no. Let's do it how we normally do. Black and blended, and you'll follow suit because you'll see how this goes. First thing that came to mind, go.
First thing popped to mind when I hear that is like what's the difficult part? And I don't know if that says a lot about my character or thought process. Like, should I go to the negative? But when you think of black and blended or blended period or the challenges you may face, what is it about it that grasps your attention first? Is it the adjustment? Is it fear of or inadequacy or acceptance? You know, the first thing that I defaulted to is, what did I have any reservations about it? You know, and did I overcome those reservations? How am I doing now? Did I take the time to check in? Do I feel like I overly... So then at that point, I'm now interviewing myself, kind of doing a survey, if you will, inventory, taking inventory of what kind of dad have I been to my non-biological son? Because that's the blessing in it, the reward even, is people that talk to me, you will not know that's not my son.
Right.
And I take pride in that. I'm happy about that. You know what I mean? So. That's the first thing that popped in my head without going through the whole episode right now in the intro is the fact that I started inventory and myself of what kind of job am I doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say for me, the first thing that comes to mind when you talk about black and blended is acceptance. Are you going to be accepted by the children?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be accepted by the children's family? Like, you know, the other co-parents that you have to work through and work with. Right. And there's a lot of dynamics that are at play when you think about that, because it's one thing to be accepted by your soulmate and your spouse and things like that. But what about the kids? how are they going to accept you? And what does that dynamic look like? Because now you coming into the fold, into their life, how do I fit in? Because I'm trying to fit into your world as opposed to forcing my world onto you. And so that was like the first thing I thought about was acceptance. How will these kids accept me? Because I want to love them unconditionally, but how can I get them to accept me as well?
Yeah, for me, it was uncertainty because I never saw it up close. Like I came from a traditional family, and I shouldn't say most of, quite a few of the families that we interacted with were traditional families. Now, of course, I had other family that was blended at that point, but it was never an up close experience. So I wasn't sure what to expect. I was kind of blind. The good thing for me is that the blend for me happened when my oldest child, and just like you, there's no, I don't step and have, that's your world, rock with it, but we don't rock like that in my house.
No.
She was so young that I am what she knows. Now, she had access to her biological father, and we'll get in that by nature of the conversation. But it was early enough where I wasn't trying to undo any habits that the child had formed, or the mom and the child had formed on their own. So that was a blessing for me. Like we kind of all learned to parent from kind of ground up.
Yeah.
So
good stuff.
With that, let's talk about what our situations are. Like, how do we come into the blended situation? And I'll start because mine is kind of short. My wife is my high school crush just after graduation, sweetheart. We ain't really, she didn't see the vision. She didn't see the vision inside.
Sometimes they slow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we flirted, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I was too cool, and she was, she was a preacher's kid. So it was like, she was the cool, cute one that nobody could get.
Yeah.
So that was the okay, because all of my friends were like football players and basketball players, so it was
challenge.
Game
on.
Yeah, so we established our relationship there. After she graduated from high school, she went in the Air Force, and that put distance between us. So we were off, not on. And when she came back in, into my life, she had a child. So for me, I don't think. And I don't have any other reference to compare it to it. I don't think that I would have accepted the child if we didn't have a prior relationship or history.
Yeah, right.
So I want to say Honor was 3, maybe 4 months when she started coming back around. And my family already knew, and my family loved her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was like the girl I was most in love with was the one that broke my heart first. Then it's like, you got that full range of dynamic and emotions. Like, do you want to put yourself at risk for this again?
Yeah.
And she was putting herself at risk too. But we connected. And like I said, so I got the benefit of having a first child and then having a firstborn after that. So she kind of gave me the experience of being a father. So that's how we got there, 5 kids later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple trips around the world.
Yeah.
And landing in Texas. That's where we are.
Yeah.
Love it, man. So for me, I'm on my second marriage. I have 4 biological kids, ranging from 14 all the way down to 4.
Yeah.
And then when my wife and I got married, I brought originally 3 kids into the fold. My 14-year-old daughter, Caroline, my 12-year-old son, Carter, and also our 13-year-old son, Mason. Mason was adopted when he was about 4 months old.
Yeah.
My wife adopted him. He has since now moved back with his mom, his biological mother. And so now it's the 2 kids that I've added into the fold. And it's been just a great experience overall, just with us bonding together, really blending. And the thing for me that I really love about our relationship is that those kids were meant for me. And I told you that in the first time that we did have that conversation, how they were made for me, even though I didn't have a hand in creating them. It was like it's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Because it was so funny. I remember a story that my 12-year-old son, Carter, when we first met, the very first day we met, he asked, can I spend the night at your house?
Yeah.
And mom was like, nah, son, it's too early. It's too early. I don't even know if I like this guy.
Right.
But just the bond was created
really,
really early. And so that's been perfect for us. And we've been able to build this bond for the past 2.5 years and, have our ups and downs like any other family and trying to integrate different things. And we're trying to still learn about each other. That's going to be a daily process that we've continued to learn each other. But it's been such an amazing blessing. I'm able to see them grow. I'm able to, be in their life every day, go to go to their PTA meetings and go to their, you know, different parent teacher conferences and see them grow and go to their different athletic things and all those types of things. So and my kids as well have blended well with them as well too. So it's been a good fold, man.
Very important. With me, same a little bit. This is my second marriage as well. So when I met my current wife, my oldest son that's in the home now, she had him. He was 6, maybe 7 years old when we met. So habits are there. Personality is already there. Their way of doing things is already in place, et cetera. You know, life is life. This is her second marriage as well. So now, again, when I meet her, his exposure was his mom, his grandmother. That kind of was it a little bit. There's a male cousin in the fold. But again, that's their dynamic. So his whole exposure or personality was built around women catering to a young man. Right. So there are things that jump out at me as a man that I'm noticing that I was sympathetic to because I was raised by my mom. But it's showing me things that I saw that I was like, oh, that's something that would be a conversation. But obviously, I'm not going to come in. I just met your mom. We're dating. I'm going to mold you into shape. I'm going to whip you into shape. Not physically whip you, but you know what I mean. That wasn't the case. I didn't approach it that way. Too. Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah. So I didn't come in trying to force my will on the situation. I came in and tried to observe what life was like with them. And I tried to find my niche. Where do I blend in? Where do I fit in with the least amount of resistance to where now I'm not a threat. I'm not a sign of change or your world coming to an end. I want you to feel like your life is about to be enhanced. But I can't force that. That doesn't happen overnight. So I'm consciously focused on building a relationship, focusing on the interaction, talking to you, but not trying to overbear to where, don't worry about talking to your mom about that. Talk to me, son, because now I'm imposing as opposed to him feeling comfortable enough to just naturally ask me a question that he feels drawn to ask me, as opposed to I hit him with these topics here, you bring this to me. Now I'm going to do the exact opposite. I'm going to act as though those topics don't even exist. Mm-hmm. Wait till you gone, catch my mom off to herself and have a conversation with my mom.
Right.
Because now you've put me on the defense. And I was always trying to be mindful of that. So I think that really worked for me. And I'll talk later in the conversation about I had exposure to a blended family as a kid. My dad remarried. We were there for the summers. So, excuse me. So obviously my stepmom, I'm getting exposure to, you know, 2-3 months a year of what that life is like. I leaned on that a lot for what were my discomforts to not do those things to make this situation uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What were you the most concerned about going into the relationship? And for me, it was always the risk of you're not my daddy. Mm-hmm. And we never got to a point. So it was just me projecting some negativity. And I don't even know where it came from. Just thinking, you know, worst case scenario is you're not my daddy. And a lot of it had to do with how the biological father and family interacted with her and my now wife at the time. And there were things that I didn't care for. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure where the line was in terms of my place of saying this is a no-go, right? And I recall, and everything's good now. So, I mean, her biological father and I, we're not best of, I don't even know if we're friends, but we're cordial.
Yeah.
But at the early point, we were both young and macho.
Yeah.
Right? And it was more about you playing me man to man than it had anything to do with the child.
Right.
The child was kind of caught up in the middle of it. And I remember we came to a point where I want to say it was the birthday party for one of the other children. And my oldest was with her other family that weekend, and is supposed to be bringing them back. And for whatever reason, the plans to bring her back changed, right? They were 4 hours away from where we were. And now all of a sudden they couldn't bring her all the way back. So I remember leaving the party and meeting them. So I'm like, I'm fuming. Like, where are they? So they got like an hour and a half, you know, away from us. And we got there and, you know, we kind of hopped out the car and the energy was thick, but it was like, we can meet and beef until one of us is gone. Yeah. I think we're both willing that it's going to solve nothing. And that's not tough guy talk, but
right.
You have a reason and I have a reason that are equal to why we're going to settle it this way. And he was like, bro, honestly, her and I could never communicate. We get on the phone and it just rah, 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 rah. He's like, and that, like, that's part of why we didn't work. He's like, we just don't know how to communicate with each other. And both of us go to 10.
Yeah.
I was like, I completely get that. But here's the thing. When you go to 10 with her, you're going with 10 in my house.
Correct. That's true.
I can't sit this one out. You know what I'm saying? He was like, you know, came down to, can I just call you sometimes? Can I text you sometimes? Absolutely.
I insist.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we did that for a few, and that kind of that changed the tone between he and I. They still kind of worked through their stuff, but it wasn't with the tone of disrespect that it was there before. And again, this is not tough guy. This is just two young men deciding to be mature and talk about how we can move forward with this. But it was like there was some energy harbored that probably could have landed either one of us dead in jail.
Right.
If cooler heads hadn't prevailed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was kind of my dealing with that dynamic. I was kind of ginger or kind of very soft with her initially because I'm like, if I try to be a disciplinarian and she doesn't like it, she could say whatever.
Right.
And now I'm the guy in the courts will side with the child saying that I would probably rather be here if that was how she felt about it. That's what she chose to do. So again, it never went there. But being that she was a girl, number one, I couldn't put my hands on girls.
Right.
Period.
Right.
But then that other dynamic of not knowing where the line was drawn with my fatherhood influence, more than that, to a greater degree before we even got married.
Yeah.
So that was my issue.
I would say for me, I had a few dynamics at play when it came to my wife. First of all, I had the dynamic of the fact that she has a daughter that has epilepsy. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I didn't know if I was equipped to handle that. That was my first thing. And I had called one of my closest friends because prior to that, we were just friends.
Right.
Right. And, you know, Caroline, her daughter was our daughter. And we were at that time, I would see Caroline in the hospital a lot. She was in the hospital repeatedly. And I just would always call her and just check on her and just pray with her and just say, hey, as a friend, I'm here for you. Yeah. Right. But I had an interest in her from the jump.
Absolutely.
But I didn't know if I was equipped enough to be able to support her as a boyfriend, as a fiance, as a husband. I didn't know because I wasn't educated on epilepsy. I wasn't educated on any of those things. And so for me, I was just like, I don't know. Is this the right situation for me? Because I don't know anything about it. So there was that initial level of fear that I had.
Yep.
How can I support my woman, my wife, my future wife, and this child that, you know, would have seizures and all these other things? How can I be the best support that I can be?
Right.
I remember having a phone call with one of my closest friends, and I told her, I said, you know, Shawana, like, I really am falling for this woman, but I don't know how I could be a supportive father and husband. And it was just fear because I had fell in love with Caroline and her brother Carter and her brother Mason instantly.
Yeah.
Right. And so it wasn't anything about them or her. It's just how can I support? Right.
Right.
And I remember Shawana just saying, God will equip you with the tools that you need to just be there. And all you need to do is just be you.
Yeah.
And whatever support that she needs, just be there for her. And that moment, instantly, I forgot about all the fears that I would have had. Mm. And I've seen some things with Caroline with her epilepsy. I've been there when she had seizures. She had a seizure the day before our wedding.
Wow.
The day before our wedding. And I was scared for her. I didn't know what to do. That was my first time really actually being there in real time when it happened, right?
Right, right.
And so those things, I was scared. And I didn't want to, you know, see my soon-to-be daughter going through that kind of pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was just really tough.
Yeah.
But God has equipped me with the tools ever since. I mean, you know, we have a great bond, Caroline and I. It's just great.
Yeah.
But then there was another dynamic at play where my wife, she has Caroline's dad, and then she has Carter's dad, too. And you have those two dynamics at play, like, how am I going to be accepted by Caroline's dad?
Right, right.
How am I going to be accepted by Carter's dad, too? We have those two things at play. How are they going to treat me? How are we going to have a conversation? And then, you know, I had to come in and stabilize some things, too, because those relationships were relatively broken. There was a lot of, you know, disconnect between the parents and stuff.
Yeah,
right.
And so God used me to come in and stabilize by pretty much saying, listen, there's a standard that we should all be dealing with each other in some way, shape, or form, and arguing, cursing each other out, fighting and all that is just unacceptable because, you know, I have an ex-wife, three kids, and you know, I also have another child from a previous relationship too, so I have four kids.
Right.
But that's not the dynamic. We have respect for one another. Right. I don't want to see all of this fighting and bickering and carrying on. So I even had to have conversations with both Caroline's dad and with Carter's dad and say, listen, I understand that my wife might have, you know, she might get a little attitude here and there, but that's for me to check. I'll see it and I'll recognize it and I'll be the one to check it. But you should not check her under any circumstance. You shouldn't be the one cursing her out or talking to her like that, because I don't even do that. And so those dynamics at play, of course, you have some reservations
right.
when you are in those different positions.
Right,
but
right, right.
God just has equipped me to be the best, you know, the best dad I can be,
right.
the best husband that I could be, and the best co-parent that I could be. And I can say ever since then, we have a great co-parenting relationship. I have a great co-parenting relationship with both dads. Don't have any beef or anything. We haven't gotten into any type of drama, but it took a lot to stabilize it those first 6 months to make sure that we were all on the same page. So those two things, just from how is God going to equip me with Caroline, but he also reminded me something too. How is God going to equip my wife with my daughter, Chloe? That was another thing that humbled me too, because Chloe has cerebral palsy and she has autism as my daughter.
Right, right, right.
So the same thing applied to my wife. She probably had the same fears and things like that. Like, how is God going to equip me on something that I'm not educated on? And I have a child that has epilepsy. So now it's a double whammy.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to learn. So I had to humble myself and understand if she's willing to accept her, if she's willing to accept my son, who also has autism is on the spectrum too. If she's willing to accept them, how can I not accept her?
Right.
How can I not love her unconditionally and all those things? And I do love her unconditionally. It's nothing that can separate my love from those kids.
Right, right. Me personally, my fear was totally self-serving, in a sense. I came in thinking, because by the time I met him, my current wife and I were pretty into each other. You know what I mean? It wasn't months and months down the road, but certainly we had spent enough time together that we were convinced that, hey, I like you enough, it's time for you to meet my son.
Mm-hmm.
So as I go in and I meet him, my concern was, man, God, please let this be a level-headed young man, because this is a deal breaker for me. If this kid is unbearable or overly have these unrealistic expectations about life, you were single mom home now. You know, sometimes young men take that and they prey on their mom's affection and soft spot in her heart that she has for her son. If you're playing on that, I'm going to be too bothered by it and over-focused on having to correct that or fix that. That's dangerous, because though it's necessary, it could turn toxic really quickly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So now you and this son or child, y'all become nemesis. You know what I'm saying? Now y'all are enemies in a sense, but you're not. But because he's holding just as strongly on to wanting to stay in that role as you are holding on to, I'm going to change that because that's not the way this should be. So now she's stuck in the middle, and that's miserable. I don't want to put anybody into that position. So I went in saying, if I think or see that this is this type of relationship, parenting wise, I'm going to remove myself from it because I just didn't have it in me to go through that. Because again, I had just gotten divorced. I have three children from that first marriage, and my relationship with the mother of those three children is the most toxic thing I've ever experienced in my entire life to this day. To this day, November of 2024. You understand me?
Right now,
or whatever
o'clock.
Date.
Yeah.
You know, I'll throw that out. I'm bad about that. However, dated that. Blink that out.
So.
But so now, because that relationship is so toxic, just could never seem to get on the right page. So again, it's funny you said what you said, because she remarried before I did. So her current husband ended up intervening. For clarity, though, like, he just reached out to me one day, like, something's got to change. Like, what can be done? Like, from your side of the story, what do you think the problem is? We can't communicate, just like what you were told. We get on the phone and I feel like I'm, hey, this is what's going on. These are the time frames. What about this schedule fits into you guys' schedule? I don't want to just come in. None of it, nothing. It's not going to be that. Because now, how I'm wired, I can't take that. So now my pushback, and that's not healthy. So now I thank God he was able to call and say, hey, what's the solution? Hey, every time I talk to her, I need you on the phone on three-way. It needs to be a conference call. If it's a text message, it absolutely has to be a group text. That way it's no, do you know what he said to me? Well, you know, I said that to her because she said this. Nope. I want everybody to see, witness, hear, experience every single word, every single transaction from here on out. If we don't talk, we don't talk. But if we do, if I see a message or a call and you're not a part of it, I'm ending it immediately and I'm cycling you in. Just being transparent. I don't want any part of the foolery because I'm going to match it. So my fear to stay on topic was I didn't want to go into a situation to where I thought the environment wasn't going to be, I don't want to say comfortable, because I was willing to work for her, but I didn't want it to be a toxic situation where you over coddle this young man and I can't put up with that. I can't take it. So I'm not going to change it, but I will absolutely remove myself from it. But that wasn't the situation, man. It was the coolest little kid, little guy I ever met in my entire life. Now, he had traces of expectancy because it was his mom and his grandmother, but that was my fear about it.
Do you mind if I ask a question?
Please.
I would love to know, why do you think that you had a lot of issues as far as the dynamic and the communication with your ex-wife?
We were not meant to be. And it's hard to say that because God don't make mistakes, right?
Right.
But I think us being together was not meant. Perhaps the children that we produced together was the sole purpose of that relationship, I feel like. We absolutely, as I look back and have had conversations with people that have asked the hard questions, as I look back, it was yet another experience in my life where I forced something that was not meant to be. And I have a history of, if I say I'm going to have it, if I say something is for me, I'm not sleeping until it's mine. Intestinal fortitude, go get what you want out of life. I don't like the term toxic masculinity. I don't believe in it. It's real, but it's overused. So because it's so overly prescribed, I shy away from it. There's heightened levels of testosterone that make you do things overly aggressive. There's aggressive masculinity, which can be viewed as, hey, that's toxic that you're spilling over into that area. But you can be highly masculine. You just perhaps don't have the emotional intelligence to be able to steer that thing or right that ship. So it's not that the masculinity is toxic. Their lack of understanding or their lack of communication, that's the unfortunate part, that hopefully they're open to being taught those things. So that was my issue, was her husband even, and I don't want to veer off too far, but it I guess this is blended family conversations. Absolutely. Her husband asked her, he told me, he said, man, I asked her, why are you still so mad at this guy? Like, what is the issue? What's the problem here? He said he didn't really get an answer for that. But I don't understand it. I've tried to communicate. My current wife tried to communicate, and that went horribly wrong. Mm. It didn't turn physical or anything like that. But you know, you tell somebody the grass is green or water is wet, and they're saying, oh, it can't be that.
It's blue.
That water can't be that wet. Put your hand in it.
Right.
Walked up, met her, put a hand out. It just went bad, man. And I'm laughing because it's not that I'm happy she saw that. I was hoping I would be wrong.
Spot on. Spot on. With these concerns and hesitations,
yeah,
did you have to be intentional about not treating the children different?
No. I mean,
it was natural.
It was natural.
Okay.
I never treated the kids differently. I never, not for a second, treated them differently. Even though I had the reservations, it was easy for me to treat them as if they were my own.
Yeah.
It just was in the back of my mind, you know, what can I do to be a support system to her? How can I support her? Am I going to, like, I started reading up on epilepsy. That was the thing that I wanted to educate myself on. And that was the very first thing I started doing, was educating myself on it so that I could understand and come into her world in that way, mm-hmm. to be able to say, okay, now I know what to do. What if, you know, what if she's just with me by myself and something happens? What am I going to do with in those moments? So I started just really reading up on it and just saying, okay, I can handle this. Gotcha. I can truly handle this.
Gotcha. For me, it was kind of easy as well, because the blend happened before I had any children of my own. Mm-hmm. So it was like a practice run. But I did realize that when the other children came along, I kind of overcompensated in my oldest favor to make sure that it was, you're my daughter, that's my daughter.
Yeah.
That's my son, you're my daughter. Like, yeah. So that it never seemed to change. And we had some conversation later in life where she didn't, you know, she communicated directly or through like cards or letters, that I never treated her different. That kind of broke me down, because that was the point.
Yeah.
Like, I never wanted you to feel that you were an outcast, because number one, her last name was different. And that's something that we thought about when she was younger, but the dynamic with the biological, we just didn't think that it was going to, you know, that it was going to be something that he would agree to.
Right.
So she carried the last name of my wife. So there's a connection there. And my wife changed her name to her maiden name being her middle name, so that there's still a connection. Then my wife's family, of course, still carries the same name. But it was those things that I always wondered, like, does she feel a way about this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was, you know, people, because we didn't make it a big deal. I remember one time being in church and we had an afternoon program, and she was doing something. And the person that was emceeing said, Honor John's, come to the front. Mm-hmm. Nobody bat an eye in the audience, but the family was looking like,
yeah,
it's not, yeah,
it's not,
yeah,
her. You know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
But she rocked with it. You know what I'm saying? We didn't make a big deal of it, but it's like, it's those things that I'm like, man, is that something I should have pressed harder for? Or was I actually showing up in the way that I should, so she'd be, you know, confident that this is her family and that she's not an afterthought? But again, it was kind of easy. I believe it was easier for me because I didn't have a group to address at one time for the first time.
Yeah.
It's like, we established a relationship. Even her calling me daddy was, my wife talks about that. She was like, you remember the first time she did that? And I don't, but it was because it was so natural of a transition, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it wasn't like she said it and I was like, you know, looking crazy,
right.
But it just kind of came natural. And
yeah.
So, you know, again, for me, I just wonder how other people experience it, and you know, what the, if there's an issue, how do you work through it?
Can I ask you a question, sure, about that,
absolutely.
About that title?
It's a dialogue,
that.
Bro.
Yeah, man. And I'm loving this so far, man. This is a great dialogue, and it's giving me a lot of insight on what you guys go through as blended fathers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so for you, when it came to her saying daddy, mm-hmm. right? Did that tug at you a little bit, you know, as far as just that title that she just kind of just gave you? Did you get any pushback from the other side? Mm-hmm. All those things.
It was confirmation, because I'm the youngest old guy in the group. of my crew. If you saw us together, you would assume I'm older or the oldest, number one, because I was pretty much taller than everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was the one that was always head on swivel. So we go to the club, I'm the one least enjoying myself because I'm like,
right.
What's going on? What's everybody popping? Else is, hey, you know, said turn up. Nah, I turn up in my house.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
yeah,
not right. Familiar.
Yeah.
So it was, where I was going with that was married with children was always the goal for me.
Yeah.
So by 22, 23, I was ready to hang it up. I'm like, mm-hmm. Number one, we've been going to the club since we were 17.
Yeah.
It's not really popping like that. I'm the area that I'm from Hampton Roads. I mean, it was okay. You take a road trip to DC and New York, you might see something that's interesting.
Oh, the dreams, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Love, I know a little like, love. Yeah. I know a little something about that.
Yeah. 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 14 for you was miles. It was a joint called something Republic. Was it?
I don't know. All the clubs, yeah, yeah.
14 for you was a
14 for you though.
Was a spot of mine. I can't remember the name of it.
Shout out to DC.
Shout out to DC. Howard Homecoming.
Yes, sir.
That was a game time decision every time. I look at my roommate. He look at me. I look at him.
Yeah.
Pew.
Time to go.
3 hours. We there. We there. But not so. So the goal was for always to be married with children because that's what I saw. And my sister was 5 years older than me. She was already down that path. I was like, I'm supposed to do this. Which also created challenges because I entered it because I'm supposed to do this, not having all of the preparation that I needed to actually be successful early. If that makes sense. That's kind of another. I already see like three more conversations.
Yeah,
different,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because there's one plan for special needs, fathers of special needs children.
Mm-hmm.
On the other platform, Healthy Marriage is Dope, we talk about a number of things. We kind of got into why the second marriages work in one of the episodes, but it wasn't actually the point of the episode.
Right.
And I kind of want to
dabbled into that.
Yeah. Dabbled a bit, a but that's, bit. That's worth a whole conversation.
Yeah. A little bit deeper than that.
Both
whole
of
conversation. No, but, for me, it was almost a cheat code, back to how easy or hard or difficult it was making that adjustment. As crazy as it sounds, it's like my son, he as I moved in gave me fatherhood back. I felt like I don't want to say my children no longer existed at the time, but she was adamant about keeping them away from me. You know, they were still in Houston. I was now living in Dallas, so the distance, the challenge, the drive all the way there, because I had plans to get them or see them and get there. Now you're not available. You're not answering calls.
So let's clean that up because I'm producing it in my head, and the way it came out was not that they didn't exist. No, you didn't feel like they didn't exist, but she made it so difficult.
There you go. She made it difficult for me to be a part of their lives or see or visit or still be an active fatherly role or play my fatherly role in their lives, that I felt like that was snatched out of my life. So now my exposure to my son, to this lady that I'm dating, that would become my son once we're married, gave me fatherhood back in a sense, because now I'm around him every single day. So we didn't live together, but I'm literally around them every single day. So now day in, day out, I'm interacting in his life. I'm helping him, you know, make decisions, learn things, taught him how to ride a bicycle, everything, man. So it gave me that back. So, and he was the only child. So it wasn't, my kids weren't around, so that I felt like I was split between the two of trying to make certain that this side did.
Another app for inventory, one for CRM. Oh, don't forget accounting. Wait, which login was that?
Or you could use Odoo, one fully integrated system that does it all without the hassle. Ditch the app overload. Get everything your business needs on one platform. Try Odoo free today at Odoo.com. That's Odoo.com.
And feel a certain way versus that side. He was the only child in the house, and he was the only child because my children weren't around because of the reasons. But so that's almost like being dumped in on it. Mm-hmm. So it worked. It was an easy transition. It was natural. confusions popped up though later down the road. And what I mean by that is, like you said, he started calling me dad, but his biological father, he calls him dad.
Yeah.
So I heard him talking to one of his friends once, and he was like, hey, my other dad called or something to that effect. And I was like, I wonder if this confuses him or did this, like, I never sat down and really had a conversation with him mm-hmm. about it. Even to this day, he's 18 now. So I'd like to sit down and have a conversation with him about it. We've talked about different things so that I was on the same page mm-hmm. as him with his dad. But, you know, no shade to his dad, but he'll pop up, drop a text message maybe once a year. You know what I mean? So I had an issue with that. I didn't care for that. Like, I'm not going to block you. By all means, be an active part of his life. Keyword being active. Yeah. Like, you're not allowed to drop in, hey, how you doing? And then disappear for 9 months. I just won't allow you to do them like that. You know, pick a side. You're in or you're out.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, I'm going to uphold it. You know what I mean? So it kind of bothered me one day that, like his phone, we were looking for his phone. I called his phone and my name popped up on his screen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
the government.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
James. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then when biological called, it said, dad, I have no right to feel a certain way about that. But the human side of me, I was very uncomfortable with it. I didn't like it. It was hurtful a little bit, actually, because I felt like, do you call me dad just to appease me? Mm-hmm. Or do you really feel like I'm dad? Do you say that because, oh, I don't want to call him by his name. It's just out of respect. You know, all of these thoughts are racing. And I'm not going to go and dump these thoughts on him or make him feel uncomfortable about the situation. He has the right to do or feel how he wants in the situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to support that wholeheartedly without second guessing it. But so I looked, I was like, James, you know, that was the first thing I said. So his cousin was there. You know how teenagers are. He was like, yeah, man, when you're not around, he calls you James all the time.
Mm.
So that kind of poured the gas on the fire a little bit. But I was bothered by it, but I didn't let on that I was bothered by it. You know what I mean?
That's a tough pill to swallow.
It is.
Especially when you do as much that you do for him, yes, and you feel as though it's a slap in the face. That's the human side of it. Even though, yeah, we don't feel like we're entitled to feel it, but we are human when we take care of the kids, when we love on the kids as if they're our own. So we do kind of want to feel that sense of entitlement. Like, yeah, you know, especially for you,
yeah,
because the one word that came to my mind as you were talking about it was redemption.
Yes.
That situation for you, not having your kids originally and then being able to bring them into the fold in addition to him,
yes,
was the redemption part of your story.
Absolutely.
I can relate to that. And I remember the kids asking mom if they could call me dad. And they have their dad in their life. They have their dad in their life. And it was so odd. It's the moment we got married, they all started calling me dad. And it felt weird in a way because I'm like, y'all got biological dads.
Right,
they still
right.
breathing, they still alive, they involved, yeah, and all of that stuff. But it's about what makes the kids comfortable.
Says a lot about you.
Yeah. A lot about you.
Says a lot about you. Yeah. Trust me.
So it's redemption in my mind when I think about you.
That's
and even
point.
That. But even still, it does sting a little bit.
Yeah.
When you had it now, but let me ask, does he call you dad now or is it
He started calling me dad when he was 7.
Okay. How old is he now?
He's 18.
Oh, okay.
So 11 years. And that's why I tell people, they're like, man, how many kids do you have? I'm 6.
Okay.
Because I raised him. That's my son. I even and to your other point, his biological family, very close to him. I'm very close to him. His aunts and uncles love those people, man. They really, really, really good people. The dad, not so much.
Mm.
They had a tragedy in the family that 1,000% was his fault. Mm. And I hold a grudge towards him for that.
Mm.
Because he had the power to, not only for it not to even happen, but even when it happened, he had the power to change it and not allow that tragedy to take place. And he did not.
Mm.
So I'll never forgive him for that.
Mm.
So because That's of tough. That, I tolerate him, but I can't man, dude can't never be nothing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, but the family, the cousins and aunts, his sisters, his brothers, even my son, he has three brothers. And all of, I'm good with all of that. His cousins, I facilitate it when I can. Like, hey, man, yeah, call your people, talk to your people. We hang out, we go out, everything. Love those people, man. I really, really do. I swear I do. So I say that to say it's difficult, you know, that one missing piece to the puzzle being the biological dad, you know, being a certain kind of way. You know what I mean?
That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it
is tough.
So we time is well spent, but I want to talk about let's see where this goes. What let's talk about the darkest hour.
Mm.
And how the kids played into getting through, getting over, getting around it. So for me, we're Keisha and I in our 20th year. It'll be 20 years March.
Mm, congratulations.
2025.
Yeah. 2025. Big
time. Yeah.
2025. So I'm a deviate because you said congratulations. My immediate response to that is why? Why you say that?
Because marriage is still marriage, is still the covenant, number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's still sacred, number two. And it's rare that brothers like us get mm-hmm. to 20 years.
Yeah.
We just, this is really tough to see marriages survive in this climate with social media, with all this temptation. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's tough. And I'm not saying that, hey, you and I have already talked. I know that it's been 20 hard years.
Right.
But at the same time, it still needs to be celebrated.
And that's why I want to always challenge, like, what we clap for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the lesson out of that longevity. Because it could have been 18 years of tolerationship. And 2 years of communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm not saying those numbers are right, but they're wildly close to accurate. But no. Keisha has put up with me, and she hasn't been a saint, but I became grateful before it was too late.
That's good.
And the, I think the lowest point for me as it relates to recognizing the impact of children, like there's the age old debate of, do you stay for the kids?
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody has an answer until they have to have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then life dictates your lens of life dictates what you do at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when we went through a roommate phase, and if you haven't been married long enough, hopefully I don't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah. There came a point where we were existing.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the same rooms, top, bottom. And we had three kids at the time. And I remember us giving each other the rings back. And I remember saying, Imani and Donovan are going with me.
Mm.
I know I can't take honor.
Mm.
And as I was saying that, I almost wanted to throw up.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it just made me realize, like, not staying for the kids, because what we were beefing over was super petty. Like that was, we right. are match petty kings and queens. Early on, not now.
Yeah.
Not now,
yeah,
but it's like, I can out-silence anybody at any point. And I had the curse or the gift of, you don't exist to me right now.
Yeah.
You can be right here and I can look right there and there's no problem not acknowledging you. And that was just my, you know, pet. And I was the youngest kid. I don't know what her problem was. She was the oldest, but. but did you ever have any dark moments that made you assess like how this is impacting the children or how any reactionary decision hothead would impact your entire life? Because your children are part of your entire life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I do have something that my wife and I actually overcame recently. And it's, have you heard of the term enmeshment?
No.
So enmeshment is a lack of boundaries between ex-spouses and even parents. I didn't know what enmeshment was until I almost lost everything. My wife had to deal with enmeshment with my ex-wife for the first 2 years we've been together.
Mm-hmm.
And that dynamic was very interesting because when we first got engaged, I went ahead and introduced my ex-wife to, you know, to Allie, and we were, you know, 2 months away from getting married and everything. And my ex-wife had embraced Allie. I was like, oh, this is about to be a good situation.
Right, right.
All the while, because in my first marriage, I was unfaithful in my first marriage. I wasn't a good husband.
Right, right.
My ex-wife used that, the guilt, the shame to still stay close to me. But then Allie's on the outside, but she's doing a darn good job of help raising our children.
Yes.
But my ex-wife would not even communicate with Allie as time went on. Part of the reason why she wouldn't communicate with her was because she didn't think that the marriage was going to last anyway. So she was being friendly originally.
Right.
Until, oh, man, she's here to stay. The kids are falling in love with her. The kids are calling her mom. And that was another thing. The kids calling her mom was not something that my wife had even pushed on the kids. It actually made Allie very uncomfortable that the kids wanted to call her mom.
Yeah.
And so never pushed it on her, but to have another woman calling another woman mom with these young kids was huge. It was a huge problem, and it turned out to be the problem that I messed up was that I wasn't checking the lack of boundaries. And it would frustrate Allie over and over and over again. That primarily, we don't even have problems in our marriage,
right,
but that was the only main problem in our marriage
up until
I had to take a stand. It took my wife to actually threaten to leave me, as great as our marriage is.
Yeah.
But that pain to not even be able to communicate with the other woman who has your kids, who takes great care of your kids, who does their hair, who takes them to all these different events, who just loves them as her own, and you can't even have a conversation with her. Whenever she FaceTimes, you're not even acknowledging her or even speaking to her. It's just the disrespect, and I wasn't checking her as her husband.
Yeah.
And so for her, she's like, you playing these different lives. You got separate lives. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want my children to be a part of that. It took me to really see and open my eyes to not lose the most important person in my life over someone that I just co-parent with.
Right.
You know? And so it was a very dark time for a year and a half as we would argue repeatedly over the same thing. And I wasn't getting the message. And I think sometimes when you are about to lose everything, you really have to start looking at yourself and start examining, God, let me examine my heart, search my heart, and let me figure out how I can get through and get past this. We started going to counseling with Blended Kingdom Families.
Yeah.
So, you know, have you heard of them?
I haven't. I'm just, the title alone, it jumps out, man.
It's dope. It's super dope. Yeah. I would encourage anyone to look up Blended Kingdom Families. And we started going to a Blended Kingdom Family coach. Mm-hmm. And they started educating us on enmeshment. Not only was my wife dealing with enmeshment with my ex-wife, but she was dealing with enmeshment with my mother too.
Wow.
Because my mother never accepted my wife. She didn't even come to our wedding. That's how much she never had accepted my wife. And that was very hurtful for me. But then just the dynamic where my mom would still want to have the relationship with me, but exclude, and it was so crazy, she would actually want to have a relationship with Carter and Caroline and call and talk about bacon and all this, but then she wouldn't even have a conversation with my wife. And so I had to learn to check those things. I had to learn to start stepping up for my wife.
Yeah.
And I had to disconnect myself from everybody to show and prove to my wife that, listen, you are the only person that I care about. You're the only person that matters to me. I'm sorry that it took me this long, or it took you to literally take your ring off in front of me. When I see that, you got to make some changes.
Right.
And I had to make those changes because I wasn't going to lose the most important person, my fairy tale, as I first said on the first Dear Son podcast.
Right, right, right.
I wasn't losing that over a woman that I had no interest in being with. All I wanted to do was be the best co-parent, the most respectful co-parent. But you got to learn how to navigate through these relationships. And that was the lesson for me. But it was a very, very dark time because I just saw my wife's pain, her frustration, and anger by being disrespected, and the person that she agreed to do life with wasn't protecting her in the way that he should have been doing it. So it was a true eye opener for me. And, you know, we're at a much, much better place because I was able to start checking things and putting boundaries in place, because enmeshment was not going to deter my marriage anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Oof. Man, that the thing that jump out just listening to you say that I feel like a lot of people could benefit from is asking yourself, at what cost?
Yeah.
At what cost? That screams at what cost? Like you said, as fundamental as that desire is to want to be a great co-parent, mm-hmm. so that these children could be healthy, stable, emotionally stable, and see that the world is not always built on confusion, that very principle or desire was causing confusion, meaning at what cost?
At what cost?
There's a version of it, but obviously the version that I'm currently active in isn't working in my household with my wife. You see what I'm saying? So that's amazing that you recognize that and made the adjustment. It's hurtful that it took the drastic example, but sometimes you got to do what you must to get that person you love and care about's attention.
Absolutely.
So that also ties, and I'm doing a lot of doubling back, that ties back to what you were saying about the 20-year anniversary coming up. You know, sometimes you'll end up in a roommate phase. Mm-hmm. As bad and dry as that can sound to a person that is not or has never been married, that maybe even they are married but they haven't experienced that, applaud the fact that they went through that phase until figuring it out instead of throwing in the towel. Country came out. I quit. Let's get a divorce. We're not talking anymore. I don't want to be with you. We're done here. We're dry. You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
So now you may go through a phase of not right now. I'm not feeling her right now. I love her. I care about her mm-hmm. well-being, but not right now. Mm-hmm. I don't care about all of your happiness right now. I care about your well-being, not so much about your happiness right now, right?
Absolutely.
So as you move forward to the dark side, it kind of deals with that for me of I went through a phase that I felt like it was a combination. My son and my wife have a habit of making plans. It could be a 22-step plan. Mm-hmm. And there are times that I'm made aware of the plan when it's go time, emergency. We got 2 more hours to make this thing happen. Hey, at 7 o'clock, are you still going to, because you need to. It's 5 p.m. right now.
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock when? What day?
I know what you're talking about.
Today. Who you talking to? You know what I mean? That drives me. I got to tell the story now. Okay. Quick story, man, because I know we tapping on time. Quick story, Cliff's Notes version. My 18-year-old son, homecoming. Decides I want to go to homecoming. No tickets left because in Texas, the schools are so crowded with thousands and thousands of kids mm-hmm. that if you're not one of the first 600 to go buy a ticket, you can't go to your own homecoming, even if you're a senior.
And
right?
He's at Lake Ridge, right?
Yes. So now the tickets are gone. You can't go. He works out a way. He gets tickets to this dance. Do dad know that? No. I don't. To his credit, I don't think my wife knew. I don't believe that. I don't know that. But I know I did not know. Mm-hmm. So the day of homecoming, you tell me, I'm out at a meeting. You tell me, hey, look here. I'm going to homecoming tonight. I need you to cut my hair, please. Who you talking to? You got tickets? Yeah, I got a ticket. Did you? Okay, bet. What time homecoming, son? 7 p.m. Okay. Yeah, no problem. I got you. I'll have your hair cut by the end, my boy. You can do it. I said, hey, man, next time, say something. Okay, I got you. He calls me at 2:47 p.m. Hey, you on your way back home? Who you talking to? The dance at 7. Nah, man, we got pictures that's only from like 3 to 5.
What?
You talking to me? Boy. called my wife. Hey, you know about the... Yeah, you gonna make it to cut the boy hair? You talking to me too? You too? Bet. Oh, hold on then. Well, let me rush on to this house and get old Prince together here, man. So I get there. Hey, man, let me ask you a question. How long have you known that you found a ticket to this dance? About a week.
Oh, my God.
Week ago. I said, a dance today, though, right? So I'm finding out today. Mm-hmm. But you want me to drop everything I got going on in life? I could have been in Zimbabwe, son. Mm-hmm. You know, my schedule dumb. And it would have been your own good. But thank God I'm here. I said, when did you find out about these 5 o'clock pictures? Oh, in my defense, I didn't find that out till Wednesday. It's Saturday, my boy. It's Saturday. So fast forward. There's thousands of those stories.
Mm-hmm.
So because there are thousands of those stories, typically my wife and my son, they know the day, like well in advance. And I'll find out at go time, like, hey, I don't know if you got anything to do today, but sound like it don't matter.
That's my favorite one. He didn't tell you?
Yeah. Right. So I'm laughing. But it's so frustrating that I went through a phase where I shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so angry about it and aggravated about it, I stopped engaging with it. Hey, he got the... I don't know why y'all telling me. No need. Because if it wasn't worthy of me knowing all the way up the 30 days that you knew, I don't need to know on day 31 when it's go time. Y'all got it. Keep doing what you've been doing. Go.
You was cutting his head mad, weren't you?
Slice.
So fine, run it. But I went through that and they like, hey, she kind of pulled me. She was like, listen, this really is not a good thing how now when he has things or we have things going on, you're very hands off. You don't have any input. You're not actively engaging. You're not participating. It's just, it doesn't feel good. Like, what's the issue? For the 3 millionth time, this is the issue here. But, well, I didn't know it meant that much that, exactly, goes back to taking the ring off. There are drastic circumstances. You know, sometimes you have to take a drastic measure so that you can drive home the idea or the message. This is how important this is to me. Fine, let's do that. So then the communication went up. The pettiness, because again, you're talking to Petty LaBelle and Petty Pendergrass.
Yeah.
So now because we're both so petty, now you're overly in the first initial phase. Hey, me and the boy were thinking about going in here and changing the dish soap. Mm-hmm. You think that's... You sure right.
Oh my God.
You cool with the Dawn or you want the...
Paul Mother.
It's cool, brother. Just do what you... So I say that to say we can joke through things once the serious conversations have been had. And that's part of the balance. It's serious. Fix it. Mend it. Move on with love and laughter. Try. Eventually you'll get there.
Yeah. Speaking of drastic measures in Lake Ridge, it must be something in the water. Because Donovan had to walk to school. We recorded Friday?
Yeah. Walk to the school.
From how else you gonna get there?
Wait a minute. Walk from go. Because you know I used to live on.
It ain't move.
Oh my.
It's still where you were. It's still where you were.
Oh, it's okay. My God.
It's okay. They enjoying too much. And it's my fault. Because I told I said, son, I stopped beating you a long time ago. And I'm not saying that that's the answer. But we're beyond me putting my hands on you.
Right.
So I got to allow you to grow up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got late classes now. They got late days and early days because he's a senior.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And oversleeps on a late day.
Oversleep.
Oh.
Then he comes downstairs and says, hey, they already marked me tardy. Can I just go to the next class? Decision making. Cool, because I'm waiting around with my life to drop you off at school 2 hours after you're supposed to be. Okay, cool. The very next day, what will you think will happen?
I'm going to get up and get to it.
No.
I'm late again. Slamming the groove.
Oh. Sleep.
Yeah.
So I went upstairs and woke up. I said, I take that you walk in school today. And I left it. I was like, this is more time for me to set up because we about to pop. So I go downstairs and start setting up the studio.
Yeah.
And he comes downstairs and
Like, he ready. Let's go.
Let's go.
That's on you, my boy.
Might want to get moving. You want me to walk to school? It's not my desire. It's what you chose. All right. Slams door. Number one, it would have never got there with my father.
My boy.
Slam any door in my father's house.
Man.
The door will follow you.
Absolutely.
So yes. I said, okay, God. Yeah. Give me, let's work through this during the day.
Yeah.
Like, show him something, show me something so we can have a conversation. After school, I talked to him. He was like, you know what today was about? Yeah, I got it. I completely get it. I was like, I made a decision not to beat you.
Yeah.
Right? And so I get that there's some...
A two-hour walk.
There's some... I mean,
a lot to think about.
That's a function of pace.
Yeah.
The distance,
it's on you.
The distance is the distance. The distance didn't change.
Because of the track going on. It's on you.
And then I gotta admit that I was a little nervous because he was late coming to where we pick him up in the neighborhood. And I was like,
did he make it this morning?
Yeah. Got taken. Somebody done took this little. He came right across. I was like, okay, I'm back. Cool.
We back. We good. But, you're right.
But the story is not the embarrassing story is that you have to boundaries.
Yeah.
You were talking about boundaries outside, but boundaries in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece of that is, like, even with my oldest, the way I disciplined her was different to a degree, but I had to find out what worked for her.
Yeah.
Because what I can't have is four other people duplicating your behavior and pushing the line a little bit further because they saw what you did and didn't get away with.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's
probably
a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
Nah, I get that.
Time has been great, guys.
Yeah, I'm having fun, man.
Yeah. I mean, I see you being more engaged more often if you're open to it.
Oh, for sure. It's just the beginning, man.
Yeah.
So we kind of do final thoughts because you're the guest. I mean, you're the alumni, but yes.
Final thoughts.
Yeah.
So
what do you want to leave anybody with? Takeaways?
Just as far as being a father, man, just be present at the end of the day. Be present. Be present with your kids. Be present at home. The kids are watching.
Yes.
They watch how we treating our wives. That's a big thing, you know. And I think just be present more than anything. I love being present for the kids.
Yeah.
It's such a rewarding feeling. And just like how we talked about redemption.
Yes.
It's interesting when we talk about that. If I could kind of just kind of give you a little bit of backstory. I had a child when I was 23 with a woman. And
First child.
Yeah. And so that dynamic has always been really, really tough. And I currently don't have a relationship with my 14 going on 15 year old daughter, not because I don't want to, but because of the same level of toxicity that you had to deal with your ex-wife.
Yes.
I've had to deal with that with my daughter's mom ever since she was born. She came down for Christmas last year and it was like hell on earth. It was so bad that I picked her up on a Thursday. She was back on a flight that Friday morning and I haven't even talked to her ever since. And it's been very challenging as a father not to be able to have that relationship.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you how God works. God has definitely redeemed my life by sending me Carter and Caroline.
Yes.
I get to be a father to them every single day and be present in their life. And I consider it a gift to be in their life every day. I get to be there for Caroline's choir recitals. I get to be there whenever Carter had soccer games where he wants to, you know, do things. And we've done things together as father and son. And it's just a beautiful feeling to be able to be present in their life. And so that's just the biggest takeaway I would say is just be present because your effort is not going unnoticed. You're investing into them each and every day. And I just love it. I love being a dad. I love being a husband. It's my purpose. It's my God-given purpose to be in their life every day. And so God really redeemed me when he brought them in my life.
Mm. I like that. I like that a lot. me personally, be intentional.
Mm.
Like a lot of things that we do, it'll end up being by default.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was talking to somebody on campus the other day. I'm a student at UTA. So I'm talking to one of the young men on campus. I try to pour into those young men about life, about decision making, about timing, about being focused and being intentional. Like, there's a lot of things that we do on a day to day that we'll get up and I'm supposed to do something. I'm supposed to study for this test or be ready for this exam. Or I'm supposed to be at school at a certain time. Or I'm supposed to communicate with my wife. Don't do it out of obligation. Do it because you intend to do that. The energy is different. Mm-hmm. If I have to do something, then I do it because I have to. It doesn't feel the same. It comes across as this is a chore. This is a job. But if I intend to communicate to you what my day looks like, if I come to my wife and say, hey, today I have to do these three things and I should be done with that about this time. You got anything or what are you doing? Like, what does your day look like? As opposed to, I'm going to the office today about 9. I'll be out of there by 2. And I'm probably, you know what I'm saying? That energy is totally different. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just barking out what you're doing through the day because now you're, boy, that's another show. I'm going to stop right there. That's another show. I got something for that one. Be intentional. Good. Please. What you got? What's your takeaway?
For the young brothers that are out there courting, pursuing, showing interest in a woman that comes with a package deal, if you don't accept all of it, don't take any of it.
None of it.
Amen. That's
don't
good.
Take any of it. Yeah, because even if you don't get to the point of the kids seeing you mm-hmm. as a father figure, mm-hmm. the kid seeing you how you treat their mother impacts their life, right? And I'm not saying you didn't walk away because of an issue with the mom or a challenge that the mom had, but be mindful of the lives that you're impacting when you're sometimes selfishly pursuing pleasure.
Oh. Hey, boy. There you go.
Ooh. Can you get a sitter tonight? Boy. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to smash.
Right.
And
that's a
real phase of life for some.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty. I knew that was a time where I would never be serious with, like, I never wanted to be around the child because I knew what my intentions weren't.
Yeah. Yeah.
That didn't make it better. I was just conscious of it. So yeah. I would suggest that, man, if you're not ready for all of it, don't take any of it.
Yeah. Mm. Big.
How many times you've seen it on social media where guys try to separate the relationship with the kids and the mom, where they just want the relationship with the mom, but then just say, well, these ain't my kids.
They just want the access.
They just want the access.
Yeah.
Be mindful of those that allow it. Because if you're actively participating and allow, and you've been shown, it's one thing to get manipulated into something. Mm-hmm. But if they're blatantly saying, like, hey, why are you bringing that around me? You need to make a conscious decision based on that information that you just received. Mm-hmm. Is that worth it? At what cost?
At what cost?
At what cost?
I'm going to say this last thing.
Please.
When it comes to kids, God blesses us with kids.
Yeah.
And he decides to allow us to call them our own. But what we forget is that how we treat them has mm-hmm. eternal implications. And we got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So if you want to separate your relationship with the kids, just imagine what that does. Overall, you're actually putting curses on mm-hmm. that whole family and those kids. Why?
You're showing them their value.
Yeah.
What it isn't.
What it is not.
Man, it's good stuff, man. I'm coming
back,
man.
Yeah.
It's a party, man.
Look, the driver of this episode forgot to remind you guys, but please like, share, and subscribe.
Hey.
It means a lot. It goes a long way. And, you know, I know we're in the final timing of the episode, so we're going to, you know, go through our traditional, if you will.
Yeah.
Shout out to Banger Boy Studios, man.
Yeah, man.
DFW Film Crew.
Oh, my God. DFW Film Crew.
Yep.
Oof. Didn't mean to disrespect that's
the music side of it.
The music side.
I stay far away from that.
Okay.
Because all these rapping A rappers that he be talking about. Damn, be it.
We in the studio.
Damn, hey.
Y'all see it's a different, different studio, different environment today. So, you know. DFW Film Crew.
Yes, sir. Shout out to James Klein.
Shout out to James, man.
Shout out to Conversations from the Back Pew.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Come on,
Back
somebody.
Pew Podcast. Let's get it. Thank y'all for having us.
Yes,
sure, man.
What you got, DSN?
DSN, man. New life has been breathed into me when it comes to that. Like sometimes when you're carrying a project that's bigger than you can explain,
yeah,
everybody doesn't get it. and everybody doesn't care, right? And sometimes you adopt their lack of, like, you start to question, is it really worth it?
So, right.
We back. I mean, I'm.
We can say it 50 times.
I'm
50
not
going to
keep saying. I keep saying I'm not going to keep saying it. But there's so much. Like, this is just proof of the activity.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I believe that we're on accountability schedule now. There are people that have been reaching out that make sense that want to be on a show. Some from the Brotherhood. Just
that's what's up.
Organically.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
So it's there.
Yeah.
It's for me to fumble. And the Cowboys are doing enough of that for me. So
shout out to the truth being spoken by that old team.
Too bad.
Come on, somebody.
Too bad the Eagles did what he did to y'all yesterday. Nah, that was, shout out to the Eagles.
We have assumed the Washington curse. I've accepted it. We are bad and terrible.
Yeah.
Tampa's not too much better.
Tampa's great.
Won't say.
Tampa's a great organization and team.
Yeah.
4-6, great.
I thought it was three.
We could pick this conversation, guys.
One. Oh, y'all.
You want to say what?
Y'all won last game. I thought y'all was 3-3.
Our whole receiving core.
They lost.
On, they're injured, and we still putting 24 on people, man.
Don't guess what? And I can just sit back.
Don't talk to us, man.
That's what? Eagles.
That was our initial run.
Eagles, baby.
That was the first issue that we had. That's the only issue we really had.
That is the only issue we had.
Because he was in my house when we were talking about.
Wow.
Anyhow, love Keisha J. LoveKeishaJStudios.com. I believe that's for the apparel and fashion things. And LoveKeishaJ.com, I believe, is where you can find her book, children's book, first of a series. It's targeting, I would say, young women of color, before the 12. Great messaging.
Yes.
Great illustration. Very engaging. Great feedback. I have a book as well that'll be showing up here.
Yeah.
Nice. Talks about life prompts, and helps you think through some scenarios in parenting. So that is available. E-version, I'm working on a hard copy because some folks have asked about that. So that'll be available soon because I'm saying it on here.
Yeah, let's go.
Anyhow, that'll do it for this episode. We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more. So you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.